This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. With the sidelong observation that we're still waiting for the Trump administration's infrastructure week to happen, the fact of the matter is that we need a whole lot of infrastructure spending in this economy. Maybe just not the kind of spending that is happening right now. Take, just for instance, a new subway here. Digging train tunnels ain't cheap anywhere in the world, but it's exceptionally expensive in the United States. Rail construction costs are routinely higher than the costs in other countries. Even the cheapest underground project here most recently, Seattle's U-Link, cost $600 million a mile, double by one measure, the foreign average. How come, you ask? Marketplace's Ben Bradford hit the streets of L.A. to find out.
Los Angeles is sprinting to build miles of new subway lines before the traffic-choked city hosts the 2028 Summer Olympics. On the corner of Wilshire and La Brea, dump trucks line up at an excavator, which heaps dirt into them from the tunnel 90 feet below. The four-year-old cites a staging area for the first leg of new subway, set to open in 2023. LA Metro's Rick Clark describes an intricate dance keeping the nine-mile project on track.
The dump trucks are as important to the project schedule as the tunnel boring machine.
Despite the precision, this extension costs $1 billion a mile, three times the norm in other countries. I asked Clark why.
That's a good question, because sometimes I ask my staff, I say, when did projects start costing so much?
LA's not alone. Rail projects of all types around the U.S. routinely cost two, three, or even 10 times their European counterparts. There are some commonly cited reasons about why it's so expensive.
You might think of land costs being higher, construction costs being higher, or the complexity of project design. You might think of labor costs and regulations.
Tracy Gordon at the Tax Policy Center says the problem with those reasons is that other countries contend with these factors too.
What's interesting is how you can come up with a counterexample for almost every explanation.
So I called transit researcher Alain Levy in Germany, who's studying the difference in international costs. He believes the explanations for increased rail expenses in the U.S. are really just excuses. For example, when American cities cite union contracts and wages for making rail so expensive,
100% excuse. In the Nordic countries, where the majority of the labor force is unionized, the costs are pretty low. In Texas, you know, a right-to-work state, costs are basically the same as in, let's say, Massachusetts.
Sometimes people blame strong property rights for making it difficult for U.S. subway projects to acquire land.
It's an excuse. In Japan and in France, if the landowners aren't happy, they riot. In the United States, best they can do is ask for a little bit more money.
What about the density of our cities? All those people, more stuff to dodge underground. Doesn't that drive up our cost compared to other countries?
It's an excuse. It's the exact opposite. Usually American cities are less dense, so you would expect costs there to be lower.
All right, so if those are all excuses, what could be the legitimate reasons for our billion-dollar subways? The transit experts I spoke with have suspicions. The tangle of local, state, and federal agencies involved in any given project may create excessive bureaucracy. It may also be easier here for a single local official to impede a project or change its course if even a few vocal constituents object, all of which could add uniquely American costs. Levy says they don't know.
It's the sort of thing we need to study more.
Okay, but how can it be that we don't know the answer to this very basic and expensive question? Levy thinks that's actually pretty simple.
In the United States, they never look at best industry practices outside the U.S. It's kind of jarring.
For instance, other countries generally build smaller subway stations where riders walk down directly to the track level. But U.S. subways almost always include huge multi-level stations with mezzanines. LA Metro brought in an outside consultant to make cost control recommendations based on eight other transit agencies. Only one was outside the U.S., in London. Metro's Clark says he's up for a trip abroad.
Personally, I'd like to have my boss send me to Spain and France and Germany to find out how they're doing it. And actually, it would be a good, valuable thing.
Because as long as we expect to pay a premium over the rest of the world, our transit dollars won't take us all that far. In Los Angeles, I'm Ben Bradford for Marketplace.